I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today. Listen to Rappaport's Reality starting May 8th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
KFI AM 640. You're listening to the John and Ken Show on demand on the iHeartRadio app. Quite a day.
Yeah, just 2 hours we've been on the air and a lot's been going on. Of course, one of the big stories locally is the conviction by a jury of Mark Ridley Thomas. Federal bribery and conspiracy charges.
We paid a lot for that orchestra, so we're going to get what we can out of it. Yeah, on seven counts, seven felony counts.
They charged him with like 19, but they found him guilty on seven, and that's enough to give him significant prison time. We've been talking about this story for quite some time. This jury deliberated for over 4 days, but they did reach a decision of guilty on a number of the charges. Also, of course, in the last 20 minutes, a federal grand jury in New York, not federal, a grand jury in New York under the Manhattan District Attorney has voted to indict former President Trump. It's the first time a former president's been indicted on criminal charges. So we'll also get into that story. But we'll begin with the Mark Ridley Thomas story. And he will not be sentenced until August by a U.S. district judge. This is all about his corruption work with the former head of the USC School of Social Work.
He steered county contracts to the USC School of Social Work. The dean was Marilyn Flynn. In return, Flynn arranged for Ridley Thomas's son, Sebastian, to get a scholarship, a professorship. They routed $100,000 from Mark through the university to a nonprofit to Sebastian. And also he was going to get a paid professorship in exchange for Ridley Thomas sending the USC a lot of money through the LA County Supervisor Board. Let's get we got Lou Shapiro on. He's a criminal law specialist in Los Angeles. Lou, how are you?
Hey, good to be with you guys. You don't know who's going to fall next today. I'm hiding under my desk. You
know? They're coming to get you, too.
Well, I imagine you followed this case. Were you surprised?
You know, I wasn't surprised, and I don't think anyone was really surprised, especially when he didn't take the stand. I think the jury wanted to hear what he had to say. And when you have allegations like this of, you know, money going in different directions, his son getting preferential treatment at SC, and then, of course, the jury for a person said, we just couldn't get over the fact that they funneled $100,000 through USC to a nonprofit run by his son. And that was the dagger form in the case.
That's what I wondered, because they were asking questions about that money that got laundered back to Sebastian Ridley Thomas. So you're saying you learned that that was a big reason that they went for guilty.
Yeah, they spoke to the foreperson after several of the counts they found him not guilty of, the ones that had to do with his son going to school on a free ride or getting the professorship part-time. They said that was a little gray, you know, and I think, you know, jurors are a little bit okay with, you know, politicians getting some favors, I think. It's sort of like comes with the territory. But that $100,000 funneling to his son through USC, that was just too much. And they said on those related counts, those we're going to find him guilty of.
Because most of this case was, what, an email trail? I mean, we didn't even have Marilyn Flynn testify. I mean, she pled guilty. I thought they might use her as a witness.
Yeah, most of it was email trails, and a lot of it was circumstantial evidence. They put together a lot of emails, text messages, and tried to show the jury this was a quid pro quo. I think the most damaging piece of evidence for them was a confidential handwritten letter that was delivered directly to Ridley Thomas from Flynn. And I think the jury didn't like the fact that, you know, these days, why are people sending, you know, email something if it's fine, if it's on the up and up, you know?
Right,
I think
right.
That was bothersome to him.
A sneaky handwritten letter, right? I remember there was some Mark Ridley Thomas staffer that saw the letter and had it for a while before Ridley Thomas got a hold of it. But I guess that looked really shady to the jury.
You know,
right? And you know, sorry, keep going.
No, I want to ask you about the comments by Marilyn Flynn, the dean, who said in one of the emails that she was giving Ridley Thomas the same deal that Karen Bass got. That, you know, Karen Bass got a scholarship as well, and Bass helped direct federal money to USC and other colleges. And I wondered, why was Ridley Thomas prosecuted and Bass was not, when you have the woman who did both deals saying it was the same deal?
No, that's a great question. And we don't know all the facts underlying the Bass interactions like we did have with Ridley Thomas, which took a whole trial. But I think the big distinction that Bass is trying to make is that she was going to help out SC anyways at that time. And as well, the further assistance that she was going to provide, she never ended up doing it. The vote, I think, never got to fruition. So it's sort of like it was maybe contemplated, but never got there. Whereas here, there were exact, exchanges of favors being done along with the funneling of money, again, to his son through USC. That was just like, how are you going to explain that one?
So as far as, so all the seven charges that he was convicted on had to do with that $100,000. Was there any convictions on all the other benefits that his son was getting, the scholarship, the professorship?
No, I don't believe so. He was acquitted of many counts.
Wow.
That's
weird to me.
And that's USC, why they were deadlocked for so many days.
And USC terminated him from that appointment over the concerns over the $100,000 donation. So that was likely a tell there that even they had problems with that.
So he's going to go through the mandatory appeal. But is there any grounds that you've seen?
No, I think in terms of an appeal, I don't think that it's going to be successful. I think any appellate court, the Ninth Circuit, would look at this and say, you know, a reasonable jury would find him guilty based on that $100,000 that got funneled through USC to his son. They just couldn't get around that.
What kind of term do you think he would get for this and when he gets sentenced?
So this is a tricky one because on one hand, you have somebody that has served the community his whole life, right? And there's a lot to be said for that, a public servant. Number two, you have a very compassionate judge. Even though a lot of the federal judges, even in the central district around here, are tough, Judge Fisher is known to be very reasonable, and the defense bar applauds her for that. And I think the prosecution also finds her to be reasonable. So he's got a fair-minded, judge to sentence him. The question is, how much will it hurt him that he was in what's called a position of trust? Oftentimes, you know, if it's me or you at sentencing, which hopefully it will never be, but it's different than somebody like a politician who the public votes and puts their faith and trust in and taxpayer money in. And when that process with that power is abused in any way, judges oftentimes will sentence somebody harsher because they abuse that position of trust. So we have to see how Judge Fisher use this.
But he
very well could be looking at a few years.
Is there a mandatory sentence here?
No, it's not a mandatory sentence. So she can give him anything from probation all the way to realistically 3-4 years, because we're not talking about, you know, a major loss of money to any victims here.
So he's definitely off the city council and he's not getting any more pay, right?
Right. Right. That's a done deal. Yeah.
All right, Lou, thank you so much for coming on. We appreciate it.
You got it. Glad to be with you guys.
All right. Criminal lawyer and legal analyst Lou Shapiro talking about the conviction by a jury today in the federal case. Mark Ridley Thomas convicted in a number of charges in this bribery corruption case involving the USC School of Social Work. I did read in one story, because this was a question I had for a while, jurors were not told that Marilyn Flynn pled guilty in the case and her plea agreement did not require her to testify. So that's something that I guess it was a stipulation from her side.
So we had jurors that never read the newspaper.
Allegedly, right.
Right, yeah.
They have to come as a blank slate. Maybe they were asked during voir dire or whatever that's called.
Often that's what you get. You get a blank slate when it comes to the jurors.
They do you ever? Well, I think your average person on the street has probably never heard of Marilyn Flynn.
But how could you not convict him on the professorship? Seriously, I'm really stunned that all those charges on the professorship and the
scholarship. So he would have gotten away with it probably, except for that $100,000 laundering.
$100,000, and there were 7 felonies connected to that. Man, I can't wait to read all the details when the the hell.
Yeah, they came up with quite a scheme, and as I mentioned, even USC didn't like it, and they terminated him from his position there at the school when they took a look at that $100,000 payment. All right, we got more coming up. John and Ken, KFI AM 640. We're live everywhere, the iHeart Radio app.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
Geez, what a day, huh? Mark Ridley Thomas is going to federal prison. And they say the grand jury has voted an indictment against Donald Trump. So,
big legal day. Yeah. I'm looking at the MRT story still. And I guess one thing that really played against Ridley Thomas, obviously, it was a lot of email communications between Marilyn Flynn and Ridley Thomas. But sometimes Marilyn Flynn was corresponding with other colleagues at USC School. Marilyn Flynn, of course, was the dean of the School of Social Work at USC. They were in severe financial difficulties. They were trying to expand the school with all sorts of online degrees. She was trying to really amp up enrollment.
And she was losing a lot of money.
Yeah,
with
they were
those
probably spending
schemes.
A lot on advertising and stuff, and it was costing them. And so she was desperate to get some contract work, and that's what she was trying to get from Ridley Thomas, was some LA County money. And he came through. In fact, one email she wrote says, MRT is really trying to deliver here. I met with the supervisor recently. This is exactly what I hoped would happen. She was telling colleagues about the vote coming up on these contracts that were going to go USC's way, that it was looking good. He was coming through on his end of the bribe.
So I'm reading the El Segundo Communist Times, and it says jurors found him guilty of 7 of the 19 charges. Called conspiracy, bribery, honest services mail fraud, 4 counts of honest services wire fraud. And that has to do with, you know, the sending the emails or sending letters to facilitate the deal. According to the jury foreperson, Kirsi Kilpalanian, the split stemmed from differing views among the panel about illicit conduct in the case because he got acquitted on 12 of the charges. And Kirsi said there was dishonesty, there was a lack of transparency, but there was a disagreement over whether the various benefits that Ridley Thomas' son received, the scholarship, the job, and admission to USC, reached the threshold of guilt for bribery. Hmm. Ultimately, emails about the funneling of the $100,000 donation to Ridley Thomas's son's nonprofit persuaded the jurors to convict. And that was the $100,000 that went from Ridley Thomas to USC, to another nonprofit, and then to Sebastian's nonprofit.
Yes, that's how they did it. That was to try to cover the trail.
And
remember, they put a Federal Election Commission woman up there who said that was all right as far as she thought that was okay, that
now,
money.
I
guess they didn't go for that.
How does the scholarship, the job, and the USC admission not reach the standards of bribery in these jurors' minds?
Yeah, they're clearly part of the deal.
I mean, it looks like it was a split, and the people who wanted to convict Ridley Thomas on those perks, probably figured, okay, we got him on the other counts. So there's no point wasting time arguing here, right?
In fact, I don't even understand the $100,000 because that didn't go to USC. That went through USC back to Ridley Thomas. It's almost like Mark Ridley Thomas just paid his son, Sebastian, $100,000. They just covered it up by sending it through these organizations.
I mean, you're not supposed to do any favors in exchange for legislation, especially contracts going from the county to USC. But I mean, what is wrong with these vegetables who don't think a scholarship, a job, and a USC admission reaches the threshold of guilt for bribery? I mean, completely, utterly flummoxed.
That this is reduced to the point where the judge gives him like probation?
Oh, that would be terrible. That would be awful.
Our legal guest, Lou Shapiro, said that's possible.
Yeah, it's always possible.
He could
possible.
Get years or he could get probation.
It's always in the law. The judges have wide discretion. If there's not a mandatory law about the sentencing, then you always have wide discretion.
Right.
But, God, that's hard to believe, though. I mean, you've got, at least a night. I want to see him in the orange overalls, the jumpsuit.
Well, how does he... Now, isn't he supposed to go to prison now? Because once you're convicted, don't they take you away?
Sometimes you're out on bail.
Even after you're convicted? I thought that's before you get your trial.
I've seen it both ways.
Yeah, sometimes they allow you to stay out till sentencing.
Yeah, it says he faces the possibility of years in federal prison. And I don't see any...
Lock him up!
Yeah, I mean, he ought to be
take
there
Take Bassetti with him.
That's right.
One listener says it might be a statute of limitations problems on Bassetti. I forget how many years back that scholarship goes.
Yeah, I think that was over 10 years ago. Maybe that's it. But she did the same thing. I mean, really, they're all crooks. They really are all crooks. I would be happy if every single politician in all parties were all taken to prison today.
Well,
if I woke up and I saw that story, I'd say, wow, today's a really good day. They're all in prison. Because they probably should all be in prison for something.
So the other big story is the Trumpster. Apparently, a grand jury in New York has decided to indict the former president. We still do not know the specific charges that they voted on, but it all relates to this $130,000 payment, which was made by his former attorney, this doofus Michael Cohen, to Stormy Daniels, the porn actress, in the final days of the 2016 presidential campaign. But as we told you before, it's kind of a bookkeeping thing and kind of an odd case to pursue. And in fact, other prosecutorial agencies did look into this and did not go after Trump for this. But this New York Manhattan DA, Alvin Bragg, decided that he might find something. You know what they say, you can get a grand jury to indict a ham sandwich, right? But what was weird about this is went back and forth. I remember Trump came out and said, I'm about to be arrested. And then nothing. And then we learned the grand jury wasn't going to meet for a few days. And then just yesterday, the day before, we thought the grand jury was taking a month off.
I guess
and
they
then
are.
This story.
They got their business out of the way.
Yeah, we heard Bragg could call them back if he wanted to, but that they were
you
not going to be.
You know what? News reports are so unreliable.
Yeah, I know.
They sometimes I feel like an idiot for reading any news reports because so many of them are wrong. They really are. I don't know who's making up stuff and for what reason anymore.
The big story that came out Monday was that Trump posted on Truth Social that there could be potential death and destruction if he's charged.
All right, well, let's see.
Catastrophic for our country.
Is there anybody gathering the streets right now?
They would go to New York, wouldn't they? Is that what
are
the
we going to wait
were?
To the moment till they're dragging him away in handcuffs?
Do you know a couple of weeks ago when he made this announcement that he was going to be arrested, that supposedly what they did in New York, they started combing through the airline manifest to see if anybody connected to January 6th was coming on a flight to Manhattan?
Well, you know who they're letting out early?
Oh, you know who Trump's attorney is?
Who?
My favorite name of all, Joe Tacopina. Boy, we've run into his name before.
Yeah,
Tacopina?
What was he from? I remember that, the Tacopina. Yeah.
I'll have to look that up, but he apparently is Trump's attorney in this.
Well, they're letting out the guy with the horns.
Yeah.
From the January 6th.
I saw that. Letting him out early.
Yeah, the guy who was wearing the fur around his neck and the horns sticking out of his head.
Right. So wasn't there supposedly some video that shows them escorting him around the halls of Congress like he was a special guest?
Yeah, I think some of those congressmen knew it was coming.
Yeah.
But they're letting him out, I think, 14 months early.
Is that right?
I had the headline. It was in the Post, and now I lost it, and I can't find it.
Oh. Yeah, I was just looking up Taco Pina's background. I guess he's been a Trump attorney for some time. I was just trying to see what kind of celebrity cases he's involved with or big other politicians. I just remember he's been big on the media. He's been a commentator on many shows for quite some time now.
Yeah, his name is Jacob Chansley. He was the QAnon shaman.
Oh.
He's being moved to a halfway house. He was shirtless with a horned coyote fur headdress when he was part of the storming of the Capitol.
Oh, Taco Pina represented Alex Rodriguez, Joran van der Sloot, who was a suspect in the disappearance of Natalie Holloway. Remember that one, the Aruba story?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He also has represented in the past Michael Jackson, Fox News host Sean Hannity, New York State Senators. Kimberly Guilfoyle.
That's a group, huh?
But we'll probably learn more in the next 24 hours what the details of this indictment are. And, of course, we're waiting to see what happens in Georgia, because they've had a special grand jury, looking into allegations that Trump tried to interfere there in that state's 2020 election results.
You know, it potentially would be good money to be a Trump attorney, except he's an impossible client and he doesn't pay his bills. So he's gone through dozens of attorneys over the years in all these cases.
Trump doesn't really rely on any outside counsel much.
No.
He has his own way of interpreting the world. No patience. All right, we got more coming up. John and Ken, KFI AM 640. We're live everywhere. The iHeart Radio app.
More Than a Movie is back with season 2 of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carla Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Junie. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're talking tea, we're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Here are some examples of what you'll hear from us on Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
This is where we discuss all things reality TV, all things popular culture.
And a little bit of Rappaport's reality, the reality of us.
We're figuring out. And if we had been recording these last 4 or 5 days,
it would have been juicy.
Podcast would have taken a left turn. Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Michael Rappaport, and my wife, Kibi Rappaport, starting May 8th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
An exciting day. Mark Ridley Thomas going to federal prison. Yes. Yes.
Well, not today, but we hope in August.
Huh? Well, he got to start packing. Got to pick out his toothbrush. Start packing. Get ready to go.
Yeah. I think 24 hours from now, who's going in the dumpster / lake of fire?
Yes.
We should put him in the final salute.
How about we put him in the dumpster and roll it into the lake of fire? How about that, huh?
All right. We've never done that before.
No, I think he should get a certain special designation.
Yeah, because the Lake of Fire is the lifetime award.
So do you realize that is three L.A. council people who have been convicted in the last couple of years? Three of them. And there were three more involved.
Yeah, Nori Martinez and De Leon and Cedillo, right?
Cedillo, yeah.
That's, in that tape.
That's 40% of the L.A. City Council involved in multiple scandals. 40%!
They're corrupt hacks!
And then you had Mike Bonin. That joker, and he was chased out of office.
Yep.
You're getting to almost half now. Wow.
Except we now have three communists on the city
council. We do have three communists. That's right. Okay.
We added two. So I don't know if this is really going in the full right direction.
Three convicted, three involved in that taped scandal, and then three communists and Mike Bonin. That's 10.
10 stories right
ten,
there.
10 terrible stories. City council people, what are you voting for?
Yesterday, we had a story that we didn't get to on the John and Ken show. From the Wall Street Journal, titled "Russia's Economy is Starting to Come Undone. Investment is down, labor is scarce, and the budget is getting squeezed. According to one oligarch, there will be no money next year." Now, it's, I don't know how much of it's from the sanctions and how much of it's just from the toll of invading Ukraine with the loss of life and everything else they have to spend on this war. The article is written by George Kantchev and a reporter for the journal by the name of Evan Gerskovich. Well, you read the article and you find out a lot of bad news, allegedly. The ruble is down over 20% since November against the dollar. The labor force has shrunk. Young people have been sent to the front or they're fleeing the country. There's uncertainties in business investment. Everything looks like long-term regression. Well, Evan Gershkovitz, the Wall Street Journal reporter, has been arrested and charged with espionage. Now, was it...
for writing this article?
We don't know that, but this article appeared yesterday, and he was nabbed yesterday. He was apparently taken into custody.
Putin read it?
I didn't like it. Well, he should have told the journal, before you put that out, let me get out of the country.
So Putin wakes up. And they probably gave him a news summary for breakfast.
The Wall Street Journal is widely read around
that's
the world.
That's right, right? You know? So
that's the business paper.
They said, Mr. Putin, you want to read this? And it's a story about how, because of Putin, the whole country is collapsing, falling apart.
We're going down the economic toilet. Who wrote that?
Get me this writer.
Was this a writer in our country?
This Gershkovich.
Go find Gershkovich.
Gulag for Gershkovich.
Yeah, so he has been charged with espionage. He already pled not guilty. That doesn't do much good.
You know what's funny? I'm glad you noticed that. I don't think I ever would have noticed that.
What?
That it was the writer of this story.
Oh, no, I knew it right away when I heard his name this morning. I said, we had that story in the pile yesterday.
Yeah, I read the story, but I didn't notice who wrote it. And then I hear about this guy, and they're charging him that he's a spy, and it's espionage. And I'm wondering, okay, what did he do? I didn't believe the spy thing, but it's like, all right, he did something to piss Putin off. Yeah, it's this story.
Oh, yeah, because if you're trading in the world economy, and this story, which probably gets a lot of play, is saying that you're about to go under... You may have more difficulty trading in the world economy.
So this other writer, Georgi Kantchev, where is he right now?
He's probably a Russian, I'm guessing from his name.
It doesn't
say anything about him.
I wouldn't stand near any hotel windows.
See, the journal is making a big deal of this because he's an employee, and I guess he's a U.S. citizen.
Yeah.
And they want him back.
They were the reporters, because you know how reporters are when one of their own get captured.
Now, they are claiming that they are after him because he apparently was looking into the Russian military-industrial complex. He was collecting information about a state secret about the activities of one of the enterprises of the Russian military-industrial complex. Mr. Gershkovich is accredited to work as a journalist in Russia by the country's foreign ministry.
He's an American, though.
I believe he is. Yes.
I was looking at the story, and this is what he wrote about the military. Much of the industrial growth Industrial production growth now comes from factories turning out missiles, artillery shells, and military clothing, replacing the vast quantities used in the war. Some factories are working multiple shifts to cope with demand, Mr. Putin has said. Official statistics don't break out military production, but the output of finished metal goods, that is a line that analysts say include weapons and ammunition, rose by 7% last year. So I guess he probably was doing an investigation into how much the factories were producing for the military. And then how much money was being spent by the government.
So their cover is he's spying on us when really he's just trying to tell the world what state the military's in with the whole Ukrainian invasion. Well, but they don't want that out there, so make up charges he's spying and getting secret state secrets.
Yeah, this is embarrassing if you read the whole story. It's very long on the many ways that the economy is collapsing.
Yeah.
So Putin is made to look like a fool, and that's not going to fly.
Yeah, the timing of this tells me they probably got wind of this article and decided that's it, get him. He's 31 years old. He joined the Journal just in January of last year. He was a reporter in Russia since 2017, first for the Moscow Times and then for a French news outlet.
Well, the Biden press secretary.
But he used to work for the New York Times before that.
Corinne Jean-Pierre, that nut. She was actually insisting that we keep telling everyone not to go to Russia, that Russia is like a level 4 danger, that no American should be traveling.
Journalists love this kind of stuff. I mean, that's what that's kind of their breeding. Journalists want to go on a dangerous story because they want to be the guy remembered for exposing certain truths.
There was a subtext to her scolding there, like, hey, you know, we told everybody not to go to Russia, so now you get kidnapped and you're in a prison and you're coming to us to fix it.
Oh, so they're not going to make a deal the way they did for the basketball player, Brittany Griner?
She wouldn't say.
Trade another arms dealer for Mr. Gerskowitz?
Yeah, well, that's what Russia does.
And they still have that former U.S. Marine, Paul Whelan. He's still being held there, too.
Yeah.
All right, we got more coming up. John and Ken, KFI AM 640. We're live everywhere, the iHeartRadio app.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
We have another verdict.
We do. There is more breaking news from the legal world. Gwyneth Paltrow wins in her case against Dr. Terry Sanderson. This was the collision at the Deer Valley Ski Resort in Utah in 2016. He sued her, claiming he got a concussion, broken ribs, brain damage. He said she slammed into him. It was a hit and run. He initially wanted over $3 million, but a judge said, you can only get $300,000. Anyway, the jury took about 2.5 hours, and they sided completely with Gwyneth.
She had
In fact, they believe that he caused the accident. Yeah, she filed a countersuit for $1, so.
And attorney's fees. So he's got to pay all her attorney's fees, which is
It doesn't say that in this story. Is true?
Yeah. It's going to cost him six figures, at least. Well, that was a bad bet. When you sue somebody saying you hurt me, and then the jury says, no, you hurt her. You did it. You started this.
As I mentioned, this guy got back on the stand yesterday. He's an optometrist, retired in his 70s, and he was comparing Gwyneth to Jeffrey Epstein. The judge told the jury, just ignore that.
Yeah.
He was trying to say celebs get away with stuff. I wouldn't say Epstein was a celebrity. And
he did.
Besides sexually abusing young girls is not the same as running into something on a ski slope.
I wasn't paying attention to this because Gwyneth Paltrow is involved. But when I heard there were no witnesses, and they were both claiming the same thing. You hit me. No, you hit me. I thought, well, you're not going to get a unanimous verdict. Unless you get 12 people who can't stand Gwyneth Paltrow.
But like I said, OJ was right. People run into each other on ski slopes. What are you going to do?
Yeah. And getting celebrities legally blamed for anything, forget it.
Trump has put out a statement this afternoon. A statement by Donald Trump, 45th president of the United States of America. This is political persecution and election interference at the highest level in history. I like this. From the time I came down the golden escalator at Trump Tower. Remember back in 2015 when he announced he was running? And he spells witch hunt with capitals, W and H. Witch hunt to destroy the Make America Great Again movement. You remember just like I do. Russia, Russia, Russia. The Mueller hoax. Ukraine, Ukraine, Ukraine. Impeachment hoax one. Impeachment hoax two. The illegal and unconstitutional Mar-a-Lago raid. And now this. So he thinks this will backfire on Biden. The Manhattan DA was handpicked and funded by George Soros. It's a disgrace. In Sacramento news, this is worth mentioning for just a couple minutes to end the show. Do you remember some years ago, it was 2016, they passed a bill in Sacramento that you could not travel to states that had unfriendly laws when it came to LGBTQ people. Yep. Well, they're admitting that, so they were banning government-funded travel to those states. And of course, we were laughing a few months ago because Newsom went to Montana, which I guess is one of those states, but he didn't use state money to go there. It was like a personal trip.
Yeah, well, the ban is for everybody but Newsom.
The Senate leader, Tony Atkins, is San Diego Democrats, decided it's time to repeal it. Basically, it's been worthless.
It didn't do anything.
Virtue signaling, right.
Because the longer they had this ban, the more states passed some kind of law that Newsom disagreed with. 23 states now have some law that Newsom and the legislature thinks are discriminatory.
It started with four states when Jerry Brown signed the law in 2016. Now it's 23 states. It's half the country.
And if I cared, I'd look it up to see what exactly they passed, but I don't care.
Well, you can guess what they passed, but she's just decided that we might as well take this away. I don't even know if they were still abiding by it.
Feeble virtue signaling. I'm sure it was only a public facade. It was theater. Well, we're not going to do any business with these states. It's half the country. How do you not do business with half the country? That's ridiculous. You ought to be kicked out of office for coming up with a law like that.
What was next?
How does that do us any good that we can't have any government or business dealings with half the country?
Well, it's state paid for travel. Those hacks shouldn't be going anywhere. They just go to conferences and conventions. Were they going to try to draft a bill over states that restrict abortion? Was that going to come next? Or that would have been like half the states too, probably.
Yeah, why don't you just secede? Just get it over with. Secede. You don't seem to like this idea that people can govern themselves and they have different viewpoints than you have. The incredible intolerance of this crowd. It's stunning.
It said it created a problem for scholars at public universities who found themselves blocked from conducting research and delivering presentations across the country.
You see? Yeah. Can't even do it's scientific research.
Right, because you can't go to whatever state is on the no travel list. It's ridiculous.
Conway's here.
Thank you. Well, we're covering the big, big story. Dean Sharp's coming on with us tonight. That's the big story.
Is he under indictment?
I don't think so.
Has he been convicted?
I don't think so. We got the Donald Trump indicted. We have Gwyneth Paltrow innocent. Those are two big stories. Mm-hmm. And then Joe Buscaino's coming on with us because that buried the Mark Ridley Thomas story.
Yeah.
Convicted of bribery.
That's the one I'm happy
with. Not on this show it didn't bury it.
No. Listen,
we were doing the happy
dance. We've done victory laps every hour.
Yeah, Mark Ridley Thomas, he is just... He's just one of the worst, most phoniest, most pompous boors I've ever met in my life.
You turn on TV, though, and he doesn't exist. I couldn't find any news stories about
Trump story's
that.
Wiping everything
out. Yeah, I know.
NBC.
I don't think Gwyneth will even get a lot of play. It's all about Trump.
NBC National News is still on, as a special report talking about Trump. Like right now.
Oh, they don't even know the specific case yet, do they? They just know that they voted to indict him? Is that still the case?
That's it. That's right. Yeah. And they've been doing that for 2 hours with no information.
This is going to go on for the rest of the year.
It's wild.
How long are you going to spend on it?
I about 8 seconds. I didn't know anything was happening. And then somebody here is a big anti-Trump fan, was shirtless, rubbing his nipples. I'm like, oh, something's going on. Something's going on here at KFI.
That is obscene.
Man, woman, you remember?
It was a man. He's a white guy.
All right. Conway's up next.
Yeah, ding dong.
Ding dong.
When will you be indicted?
Mark Rahner is the news.
Right after that comment.
Live in the 24-hour KFI newsroom.
Hey, you've been listening to the John and Ken Show. You can always hear us live on KFI AM 640, 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. every Monday through Friday, and of course, anytime on demand on the iHeartRadio app.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Tura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today. Listen to Rappaport's Reality starting May 8th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.